A Perfect Storm, Sergeant Windflower Mysteries, Chapter 1. Eddie Tizard passed his card over the sensor and pushed the door open. He flicked on the light. "Holy jumpins," he said, when he saw what was on the bed in his hotel room. Thousands of dollars strewn around like confetti. When he looked closer, he saw something else. There, right in the middle of the bed, was a very red, very large bloodstain. His first instinct was to run. But his years as an RCMP officer got the best of him, and he had another look around. Soon the source of the blood became obvious. It was a man in a suit lying face down in the bathroom with a visible hole in the back of his head. Tizard should have trusted his first instinct, because when he did decide to leave the room, he walked directly into the path of who he would later find out was the head of hotel security. He was remembering all of this as he sat in a holding cell with a dozen other men in the Las Vegas jail. Tizard had gone to Vegas for private detective training, having decided on a new career path after leaving the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, or the Mounties. Technically, he was on leave for the rest of the year, but he doubted he'd ever return to his old job. He'd applied for and received his firearms license, but he wanted a certificate to put on the walls of his new office. That is, when he got an office. That seemed very far away right now, about as far away as he could get from his home in Newfoundland, on the eastern tip of Canada. He'd watched enough police shows on TV to know that he could make one phone call, but nobody had said when he could do that. The duty officer kind of smirked when he pushed him into the lockup with his dozen new friends and told him, yeah, coming right up. Tizard was confused but tried to look like he fit in with his fellow cellmates. They, in turn, looked like they were measuring his clothes to see if they might be a fit. As long as they don't find out I used to be a cop, I'll be okay, thought Tizard, as he backed up as far as he could into a corner. It seemed like he waited forever, but as several of his new friends came in for a closer look, he heard his name called. Tizard! Tizard! That's me, he said, and pushed by the large men who had gotten the closest to him. The duty cop opened the door and Tizard walked along the hallway to an interview room. He was pushed inside and the door clicked shut behind him. It was a small windowless room with a camera in the ceiling, a mirror on the wall, a single chair on one side of the table, and two on the other. Tizard knew the drill and took a seat on the one chair side. Then he waited again. Feels like home, he thought, just not my home. On the other side of the continent, Mayor Sheila Hillier was wrapping up her town council meeting and was on her way to meet Maura Studley, who was babysitting her daughter, Amelia Louise. The meeting had been made unpleasant by a couple of contentious issues, including whether the older buildings in the downtown core of Grand Bank should be modernized or restored to maintain their historic character. But Sheila also realized that most of the tension was really about who would replace her as mayor in the election just a couple of weeks away. Jacqueline Wilson was Sheila's preference, but there was another candidate, Phil Bennett, who was leading the anti-tax faction of council. Every meeting, Bennett would try to disrupt things to show how influential he thought he could be, but Sheila would have none of that and would put him back in line. Bennett's behavior in itself was more than enough reason for her to want to leave, she thought. She had decided to go back to school part-time, eventually do an MBA once she cleared up her scholastic records and completed the course load for an old degree program she had started 7 years earlier. Politics had never really been her thing, even though she was very good at it. She had only taken the mayor's job to try and improve the town's economy, and she had succeeded, mostly. The town of Grand Bank's fish plant was now operating on a regular basis with a quota for crab and the sea urchins that were considered a delicacy in Japan and China. The town also had a recycling factory and a solar panel fabrication plant. Half of the town's people wanted not to just preserve the past, but to live in it. The other half wanted to blow it all up and start over. They had no use for the old and wanted everything to be modern, like the way it was in St. John's or even nearby Marystown. It seemed there was no middle ground for the residents of Grand Bank, yet Sheila was sure you could have the best of both worlds. Getting others to agree with her, though, seemed impossible. Sheila gathered up her things and drove to the Mug Up, which was known through much of the province to be the best little cafe there was in Grand Bank. That it was the only cafe in Grand Bank was usually not mentioned. Sheila had owned the place years ago, but gave it up after a horrific car accident that left her with a slight limp and no desire to stand all day. Marva Studley and her husband Herb had taken it over, and it was there that she found Amelia Louise sitting at a table with her puppy Herb. "Mama, Mama," she shrieked as Sheila's heart melted. "Look, look, I think she's got talent," said Herb Studley. Sheila examined the crayon straws on the paper and murmured her approval. "It's so nice," she said. "Is it Lady or Doggy?" she asked, making a leap of faith based on the fact that there was one small circle on top of a large mass of scratches. Amelia Louise smiled and nodded her head up and down emphatically. She had always been able to somehow say no, but now the 20-month-year-old toddler was happy to signify yes with a grand gesture. "Well, thank you," said Sheila, "and thank you, Herb, and here's Maura, too. Thank you, Maura, for looking after her." "It's our pleasure," said Maura, wiping her hands on the apron. "I was just finishing off some baking." "Em," said Amelia Louise. "Look, look." "I can see," said Maura. "Has Poppy Herb been nice to you?"
"She's like our baby, too," said Herb.
"It's easy to be nice to her. Those that do teach young babies do it with gentle means and easy tasks." "Okay, my soon-to-be-famous artist, let's go," said Sheila, and she put on Amelia Louise's jacket. Once outside, Sheila noticed the November air had lost any tinge of summer warmth, and the wind was picking up, making it a bit of an adventure to walk the short distance to their house. Sheila tried to carry her daughter, but Amelia Louise was determined to walk on her own, while examining every leaf that blew their way. When they got home, Molly the cat watched them carefully as they came up the walkway. The dog, Lady, was more directly affectionate and showed how much she had missed them both by almost knocking them over in the hall. The only one missing from the happy family was Sheila's husband and the father of Amelia Louise, Sergeant Winston Windflower of the RCMP Grand Bank Detachment. He was at work, but Sheila expected to hear from him very soon, because his stomach would soon be rumbling any minute now, and he'd want to know what was on for dinner.